If you love Jesus, say amen. Amen. Let's get into the scripture. I want to share 4 points from the story of Palm Sunday. Let's get right into it. We're in Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 28. After telling this story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 disciples ahead. "Go into that village over there," he told them. "As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying that colt?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Someone say, "The Lord needs it." Now look at somebody and say, "The Lord needs you." The Lord needs you and I. So here we find that a couple of miracles take place. Jesus just does miracles all the time. He's just walking around and miracles follow him. I mean, he says, "Go into this village and you're going to find this." That's a miracle. He knows exactly where the donkey's going to be. He knows exactly what's going to happen. That's a miracle. Yeah. He also knew that there would be a slight opposition. I want you to catch this. You may not have thought about this in this story, but there was a questioning. "Why are you taking that donkey?" And Jesus also gave the disciples who were getting the colt the exact answer they needed. Yeah. I want to share the first point today: persevere through the obstacles. Persevere through the obstacles. Sometimes we're following Jesus and someone says, "Hey, why are you doing this?" And immediately we take that question as something's wrong. I'm going to back up. I'm going to quit. I've had my children do that. They've asked me for something and I said, "Why?" They said, "Well, never mind." All I'm asking is why. If the boss says, "Why do you need that?" don't just throw up your hands and say, "Forget it. Forget I asked." Sometimes the littlest things can get at us. Now, I like things to be smooth in life. I like there to be no problems. How many are with me? I mean, I would, if I could choose, I would have every light be green on the way to church. This morning when I was coming through about 6:30 this morning, just about every light was green and it was nice. But every red light does not mean that I'm out of the will of God. I want you to understand that right now. Just because someone questions you, just because someone stops you, just because someone says, "Pastor Marco, are you sure you're really called to missions?" That's not a sign that everybody's against you. That's not a sign that God's against you. Jesus said, someone's going to question you. Persevere through the obstacles. You see, sometimes there's going to be obstacles, big or small, that come in our way. We need to persevere through them. Jesus said to the disciples, "Go to the other side." What happened in the midst of that boat ride? A storm. And just because a storm came didn't mean they were out of the will of God. It didn't mean that they were disobeying. In fact, they were obeying God when a storm came their way. I want you to know, sometimes you just got to get a little bit of tough skin, and I'm speaking to myself as well. Persevering through the storms. This didn't mean they were doing anything wrong or that they were out of the will of God. Get ready for the questions. Now, this was prophesied many years ago, and we're going to go through this story. But if you'll turn, or if you'll put it on the screen, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Look at this verse. "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. This was prophesied over 500 years before it happened. God's timetable is a little bit different than ours. I want God to do things now. I want God to work in our church now. I want God to work in my life now. But you can trust that if God did it back then, prophesied 500 years, it took 500 years, Jesus showed up. If he prophesied that Jesus is coming back, you can count on it. Jesus is coming back soon. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Anybody ready for Jesus to come back? How many are ready for the rapture to come back? Amen. Let's have it happen soon. But there's a lot of people that still need Jesus. Let's move on in the story. Luke chapter 19, verse 32 through 35. So they went and found the colt just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying this colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. The second thing about this story is you can trust what Jesus says. Even down to the smallest details, you can trust what Jesus says. Sure enough, everything was just as Jesus had said. If you and I can make that a part of our life and our system, listening to what Jesus says, following what Jesus says, and then trusting what Jesus says. Jesus showed that he knew all things. His words were fulfilled down to the smallest detail. You can trust someone like that. It's kind of like a doctor when you go into surgery and he says, "Now here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to feel a slight prick and you're going to start to feel this way. And then in a little bit, you're going to go out under anesthesiologist." Now, I want you to know when you have that exactly happen, you can trust that doctor. Now, if he says this is going to happen and something strange happens, you're going to say, "Wait, does this doctor know what he's talking about?" It's like the first time I saw one doctor, I met him for the first time, his fly was open. I thought, "Man, that's a little bit strange. I hope that's not how he operates." The disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." That was the end of the discussion. The owners must have known who the Lord is. They must have been receptive to the Lord. They brought the colt to Jesus. They put garments on the donkey because this was a sign of royalty. They were covering the colt in a royal fashion and they were declaring Jesus as king. Yes. Declaring Jesus as king. Now I want you to get this. This could be looked upon as treason. Or this could have been looked upon as revolting against the Roman government. Let's move on in the scripture. As he rode along, the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of them. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heavens." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." Number three for you today, Jesus deserves our worship and praise. Jesus deserves our worship and praise. The people were honoring Jesus as their king. They were throwing their coats down. And Jesus was riding the donkey over their coats. Matthew and Mark says that they cut down tree branches and were waving them at Jesus. The place was going crazy. The people were shouting and they were cheering. They were praising God for the miracles they had seen. Lazarus had just been raised from the dead. Many of them may have been fed by the five, or part of the 5,000 being fed with the bread and the fish. Matthew says that they cried out, "Hosanna." I want you to try that with me. Say, "Hosanna."
Hosanna.
Say it louder.
Hosanna.
That means, "Save us now." They weren't talking about from their sins. They weren't talking about spiritually. They were talking about, "Save us from the Romans. Save us now." They wanted Jesus to lead the army into the capital city and destroy the government. But Jesus is not interested in that yet. He's interested in saving the soul. He is interested in your soul. He's interested in my soul and saving us from our sins. The fourth thing that I want you to get from the story is choose Jesus. Bethlehem was known for its shepherds. These shepherds were in charge of raising sheep for the Passover sacrifice. They would bring their sheep into Jerusalem on the same day, Lamb Selection Day. There would be a procession of lambs that families got to choose from. I talked about this a few weeks ago. On any normal lamb selection day, the father of the family, he would select a lamb, he would pay the price, select the lamb, and they would take it into their family. Now, dads, I want you to imagine this. You would have a one-year-old lamb without blemish, without spot, without anything wrong with it, and you would bring it into your family's home for a few days. This was on Sunday, so Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you would adopt this little lammy. And the lamb would become a part of the family. They would feed the lamb. They would play with the lamb. They might even name the lamb. How many have kids that name every animal they see, okay? And so they would name the lamb, and it would become a part of the family. Maybe the kids would sleep with it at night. They would hug it and play with it. And then Thursday came around, the day right before Passover. And they would have to bring this lamb to the priest. And the priest would ask, "Do you love this lamb?" And the family would say, "Yes." And as the priest would take this lamb, and the lamb started baa and looking, the little kids would begin to cry. Because the father would tell them, "This little lamb is going to be sacrificed for our sins." And that priest would take that lamb and sacrifice. You see, that lamb became a personal sacrifice from the family. It wasn't just a lamb that the priest would do in some far-off field and the kids never cared about it, the family never cared. There was something special and unique about this lamb. That's why the Bible talks about a sacrifice of praise. I wonder if we even know what that means today. When we offer a sacrifice of praise, what does that mean? I used to think it meant holding your arms up longer when you're tired. When we give, do we give till it hurts. When we give of our life, do we give everything even when we don't want to? Does that personal sacrifice mean anything to us? Well, on that lamb selection day, it wasn't just a lamb that came into Jerusalem. It was the Lamb of God. You see, this symbolized the Passover lambs from the deliverance of Egypt. And I'm just going to give you just a moment of teaching. Back in the Egyptian days, when God was about to deliver the Israelites from the Egyptians, he told every family to take a one-year-old lamb and to slaughter it and to take the blood and put it on your doorframe. And that night, the angel of death came into Egypt and was going to come into every home and to kill the firstborn. God's judgment was coming because of the hardness of Egyptians' heart. And when the angel of death saw the blood on the door, the angel would pass over that house. So the word Passover is actually a statement of judgment forgiven. Judgment passed over. You see, you and I deserve judgment. You and I deserve death. You and I deserve hell. Didn't get too many amens on that. Church, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But because of the perfect Lamb who came riding into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, because he went to the cross and he shed his blood, not a little lamb's blood, but because he shed his blood, we have applied the blood of Jesus to our life. I pray that you have applied the blood of Jesus to your heart. Yes, amen. I'm not talking about taking physical, literal blood and painting it on. That's not what I'm talking about. In this day and age, I got to make sure that I'm very clear. But it's applying the blood of Jesus spiritually to my heart, my sins. Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I thank you for the blood that you shed for me. My sins are not just covered by the blood, they're gone because of the blood. They're gone. Everybody say, they're gone. You see, when the Father would select that little lamb, he did that for his family. But the Father, the Heavenly Father, selected a lamb for mankind. For mankind, that all of our sins would be gone. For those who believe, John 3:16 and 17 says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." Praise God. In conclusion today, I want to remind you of something that you all know, but I want to say it. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to sacrifice yourself. You are not the Savior. You're not the Lamb of God. One of the amazing things when Jesus died for us, and I want you to hear me, to take a deep breath and realize that we do not have to be on the cross ourselves. Sometimes we carry the weight of the world like we have to go to the cross. We carry the weight of family issues, finances, our own sin and addictions, the responsibilities of life. It all depends on me, we say. If it wasn't for me, this marriage would fall apart. If it wasn't for me, this family, this business, this church, this ministry, if it wasn't for me, I want to give you permission today to let Jesus carry those burdens. Let Jesus carry your burdens. To carry those sins, those responsibilities, those weights. One day there was a father who took his son to the sandbox at a park. And the little boy began to play in that sandbox, and he realized that in the sandbox was a big rock. And it really bothered him, and so he started to try to get it out, and he was pushing with all his might. And he got it to the edge of the sandbox, and he couldn't get it over the edge. And he began to cry. And this father came running over and said, "What's wrong, son?" And his son said, "I can't get this rock over." And he's weeping. And the dad said, "Well, did you use all the strength that you had available?" He goes, "Dad, I did. I can't do it." And the dad says, "No, you didn't use all the strength available. You didn't ask me." And the dad reached down and with one hand picked up that rock and dropped it over. I want you to know that Jesus did all the heavy lifting. When he went to the cross, he took everything and did it for us. All we got to do is believe. All we got to do is accept. For God so loved the world. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for going to the cross. I thank you for doing all the heavy lifting. So many times we live our life as if we've got to go to the cross. We live our life as if we've got to try to forgive our own sins, to carry our own weight. But I'm thankful that we could choose Jesus because you did all the work for us. You picked up the rock and you got rid of it when we couldn't move it ourselves. And I thank you for that. Will you stand with me today? Can we just take a moment and just praise him and thank him for what he's done for us? Thank him for being the Lamb of God. Thank him for taking our sins. Thank him for taking our burdens. Father, we just take a moment right now and we thank you. We thank you for carrying our burdens. There are some here today, though, that are walking around with the weight of the world upon their shoulders. It may be of their own doing. It may be because of circumstances. But God, we just give that to you today. On this Lamb Selection Day, we choose you, Jesus. We choose you. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, let me ask this question. Maybe you're here today and you're trying to work on your own. You're trying to make it on your own. But you cannot forgive your own sins. You need Jesus to do that. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Perry, I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I need to give my life to Jesus. I'm trying to do it on my own. Would you just raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Now I want everyone to look right up here. I'm going to open up these altars. And I'm going to invite you to come. As a believer, for you that raised your hand, I'm going to invite you to come. And I want to pray that Jesus releases you from some of those burdens you're carrying. I want you to turn your trust into Him. Will you come as they begin to lead us in a song? And I want you to lay those at the feet of Jesus today. Father, I thank you for everyone here today. There is no one here that you do not see. And I pray today that there will be new life, new hope, and a new release today in Jesus' name. Will you come today?